My name is Josh, and my wife and I are the pastors here in Freedom Church, and it is an honor to have you with us this morning. I just want to extend a happy Father's Day as well to every one of the gents in the room. We're so glad you're here, and we're excited to get into the Word today. We are in a teaching series in our church just now called I Love My Church. I Love My Church. Can you tell the person next to you, because some of you look a little sleepy in the room. Can you tell them, I love my church? Then turn to the other person that you didn't choose and tell them as well, I love my church. I love my church. We're in this series called I Love My Church, and we're talking all about some of the core values that are part of our church. So if you're a first-time guest today or you're new to our church community, this is a great space for you to be in today, to come and learn a little bit more about who we are. We've got these 12 core values, these 12 DNA that we talk about in our church, and we're exploring four of them through this series, and then we're going to be doing some short podcasts and putting some more of them on our YouTube channel, so make sure you get on there to hear more about all of the DNA. But before we get into the Word this morning, I want to tell you a little story. Can I tell you a story? Good. Natasha let me, so I'm going to do it. Okay, back in about 2010, I think it was, some of our young adults who were part of our church where I was growing up in the UK, Freedom Church there, they flew over to the US, about 10 of them, and they visited a couple of churches because they wanted to go and learn. They were very passionate. We were a passionate church. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we were very excited about Jesus, was the vibe. Kind of feels still like that's the same at times, but it's fine. It's kind of who we are. And so they flew over, and they managed to connect with a leader from a young up-and-coming church. It was this small church at the time called Elevation Church. I don't know if you've heard of it. So small church at the time, back in 2010, they managed to sit down with one of the leaders. His name was Larry Bry. Now, Larry Bry is one of these, like, big, burly, like, his biceps are bigger than, you know, my torso kind of people. He's one of these individuals. And so, slightly intimidating person. And so, Pastor Josh Nozell, who was with us last week, at the time, he's a younger guy, early 20s, helping to lead this team, go over. And so, Larry says to him, okay, so who's your senior pastor? Is he here? And Josh says, no, he's back in the UK. His name's Gary, but we call him Big G. Because Josh, I don't know, trying to be cool or something. It's fine. And Larry turns to Josh with horror in his face. He says, Big G. Big G. Says, he's your pastor, not your buddy. And so Josh was like, oh, sorry. And for the next like 5-6 hours, they have conversations with the team at Elevation. And one of the things they realize through these conversations, there was lots of different things happening, but one of the key highlights that came out was how we as a church had not honored our pastor. Because just to explain, we'd spent 25 years up to that point as a kind of small community church where everyone had access to Pastor G 24/7, and they used it. So Pastor G had experience in construction. So half the church, hey, I've got something going on in my house. Would you be able to pop round and just have a look at my heater? And so he's going round there at 9 p.m. trying to fix something for someone. I remember, it was funny, one of the first meetings we have when Pastor Josh and the team come back from the U.S. was, Josh says, anyone here have Pastor Gary's number? Hands. I was like, right, get your phone out, delete his number. It was a bit hectic. But the point was, he was saying, we have treated him as common. And one of the things, one of the pieces of the Bible I want to show you this morning that we learned from in that time was found in Matthew chapter 10. Can I show you it this morning? Matthew chapter 10. It says, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. What's being said here? I just want you to capture this if you missed it. He's saying, if you receive a prophet, not as based on their character, not based on their gifting, not based on their track record, none of that, but on who they are and the role they have. If you receive them as that, then you're going to receive a reward. Or let me say it this way. Let me simplify it. One of the things we learned in that time was this, that respect is earned, but honor is given. Respect is earned, but honor is given. And so what they're saying here in Matthew is, we're not trying to just... Respect is based on someone's track record. Have you done some good things for me? Are you a good person? Are you trustworthy? Then maybe I'll respect you. But honor is based on the value of an individual. Is this person made by God? Is the role that they have in my life, is that intrinsically something that God's put them into? So I'm going to give honor to you. So respect is earned, but honor is given. And so what I want to show you today and talk a little bit about is one of our DNA, one of our core values, and it's called We Will Elevate. We will elevate. Can we throw the other We Will Elevate up here? So We Will Elevate says this, we freely give honor to everyone, women, men, all ages, and all races. We reveal God's value for each person by opening our homes and our lives. We honor leaders who serve us. We honor God when we build a culture that honors people. I think this is one of the most, one of the least understood and most important concepts that we have, both in society but in our church today. I think when we have a culture where we honor one another, it pulls out so much of God's love out of us and it blesses everyone around us. I think when we step in as a church into a greater way to honor one another, it's going to bless our lives. And so that's why I want to share a little bit about honor today. You see, one of the interesting things about honor, and as we went on this journey, and I said they went to sit down with Larry Bry, this intimidating individual. What we realized about honor, if we can throw the We Will Elevate description back on the screen, we started to see, man, this honor thing, this has got to be for everyone. This has got to be something that isn't just something I give to a spiritual leader or a pastor. This is actually something I need to look at the people in my life and say, man, what if we had a culture of honor? It blesses other people, but here's the interesting thing about honor. Honor doesn't just bless those I give honor to. It far more blesses the person who gives it. Let me pull up that Matthew scripture back on the screen. Matthew 10. Whoever welcomes or honors a prophet as a prophet will what? Receive a prophet's reward. Who gets the reward? Is it the prophet or is it the person honoring them? The person. So I don't even need to be the prophet to receive the prophet's reward. What do I need to do? I just need to honor. I just need to welcome them as they are. I'm not looking to try and pull them down. I give honor. I just give honor. And then I get the reward. And here's the amazing thing. God wants to give out rewards. I don't know if you know that. And I'm not saying that, this is not a message saying, you get a car. That's not those kind of rewards. This is something both eternal and internal that God wants to bless you with. He wants to bless your life. He wants to reward you in ways that are so life-giving for you. But all we've got to do, God, and even if we look in the Bible, it says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, talking about the Ten Commandments, it says there's one command that comes with a promise, that comes with a reward. It says, honor your father and mother, and you will live a long life. So there's a reward that comes with honor. So I'm a few minutes into my message, but can I give you a title for my message today? Let's pull it up on the screen. Here's what we're going to say today. We're going to say that we are pursuing, let me pull it up. Okay. We're going to say we're going to receiving rewards that last. Receiving rewards that last. That's what I want for you today. Receiving rewards that last. And my subtitle is this, an upside down kingdom. Receiving rewards that last, an upside down kingdom. There's something about the kingdom that we serve in that we're a part of that is different. See, in the world, the way that I get to the top is by me pushing other people down to get to the top. Or the way that I get what I want is by holding on to it and hoarding it. But here's the interesting thing about honor. Is that the rewards that God has for you when it comes to honor is on the other side of you giving honor. But it's not giving it knowing that I'm going to get a reward. It's giving it freely. I want to give honor. I want to give people in my life honor. I want to give people in my church honor. I want to give people in my work. I want to give people in my family honor. And on the other side of it, God wants to bless me. But I don't do it for the blessing, but he does want to bless me. Or I'll say it this way, that in the kingdom, we receive after we give. That's how you receive in the kingdom. It's only after you give. Like, let me give you an example. When the disciples were there in the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus blesses the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Who knows the disciples were also hungry that day? So the disciples could have come and they were like, hey, we know Jesus blessed this and there's loads of other people, but do you reckon we just have a little bit of this first? But what happens? They start to give. And then the fish and the bread multiply. It's after they give that they were then blessed. It was after they give that they then received. And how much did they receive? Anyone remember that story? How many basketfuls were left at the end? 12. How many disciples were there? So instead of them eating when they were hungry first, they gave out. And then at the end, God blessed them with a basketful instead of a biteful. He blessed them at the end because after they gave, they received. It's the same thing with honor. That when we give, God wants to reward you, not because you're going to get the reward, but because it does something in your heart. That when you build a culture of honor in your life, you start to see people differently. You start to see people not just at their worst, you start to see them as the children of God that they are. You start to speak life over them and bless them. And so I love the language in our DNA. It says, freely give honor. We freely give honor. I want to be a part of a church community that freely gives honor. And I think many of us do already. I see the way we love each other, we serve each other, we care for each other, we speak life over each other. But do you know where the fight for honor is for me? It's often in my mind. How do I think about someone? In my heart, do I pull them down? Do I do the whole church thing where, hey, great, how you doing? They don't know how I think about them. They don't know how I talk about them behind their back. But when I freely give honor, sure, there's something powerful that happens in me. So church, I want to give you four different areas I see in the Bible that I believe we are instructed to give honor within. And that's where we're going to go with our message today. The first place the Bible tells us to give honor is that we are to honor God. We are to honor God. It says this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Those who honor me, this is God speaking, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who honor me, did you know that? Just pause for a second. Sometimes because of the grace of Jesus, and it's an amazing thing, I think sometimes we miss out on then there are conditional promises in the Bible. So we sit under, we live under the grace of Jesus, and we have received forgiveness for sin. But then there's these moments where God says, hey, if you honor me, I will honor you. It's like, what does that look like in your life? There's a promise for us, and some of us, we miss out on it. And let me finish it. But those who despise me will be disdained. Here's my question for us when it comes to honoring God, because we are instructed to honor God. How do we dishonor God? The way I think sometimes as Christians we can dishonor God is by being too casual around him. Sometimes I think that as Christians, sometimes for some of us, we can become familiar. I grew up in church, or I've known about God, or I met Jesus a while ago, and then we get into life. And then we just go through the motions. And what once stirred us to tears, I'm sure many of us, we've had moments in worship where we're ugly crying and there's snot rolling down your face and it's like, man, isn't God good? And this is incredible. And now, hands in pockets, arms crossed, disinterested. What happened? We became casual. We became casual. Can I throw one thing? I want to be maybe a little cheeky this morning. Can I challenge some people this morning in church? Okay, Natasha said yes. She didn't, but it's her fault. Okay. Here's one way I think we can dishonor God. Okay, and I want to encourage you to receive this as a challenge this morning. I think for some of us, or I'll say this. Does anyone know, what time did this service start this morning? 9:15, okay, cool. So we do know, that's fine. All right, let me go there for a second. Can I go there? We have somewhere between an hour and 1 hour and 15 minutes that we gather for our corporate gathering for the church. And of that time, we have somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes where we sing our praise and worship to God. But many of us miss because we're like, oh, we start with a song, right? Cool, that's the get you going song. That's just shake off the cobwebs. No, that's praise to God. And some of us, we miss out. Listen, if you're a first-time guest here this morning, this is not for you. This is for our church family. You're allowed to be as late as you like. You come in with 2 minutes to go, I'm going to welcome you, give you a nice cup of coffee. It's fine. But for our church family, we can miss out. And it's always, I might have shared this with you before, and so forgive me if I have, but my dad always used to say something that challenged me. He said, if the prime minister, I had a prime minister growing up, but let's say president, if the president asked for a meeting with you at 9 o'clock, what time would you be there? For me, I'm like 8:30. I'm like making sure, okay, I'm checking myself in the mirror a couple of times at least, if I got any stains on my clothes, how am I look? I'm doing all that. I'm ready. Because I'm expecting something's about to happen. But some of us, we're too casual in the presence of God, so we don't expect anything's going to happen, so we're fine showing up late. Because we're cool. It's fine. Church is going to happen again next week. We're too casual in God's presence, and so we don't mind not showing up for some of it. And so I want to encourage you. I think it dishonors, it not only God, I think it dishonors people. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 9 and I show up at 9:30, I think I've dishonored you. And so I want to encourage you. Let's honor God by being ready to worship him. And we've got an hour in our week. It's not a long time. So I want to encourage us. Let's be ready and hungry. Next week, Sunday. Can I encourage you, church family? 9:15, at your seat, ready to go. I think it speaks to God and says, we are hungry for you. We are expectant that God's about to do something. If I don't think he's going to do anything, I'll show up at 9:30, 9:45. That's cool. But if I'm expectant, I'm ready. 9 o'clock, 8:45, I'm ready to go. All right, what you got for us today, Lord? Let's see. Amen? Okay, so we honor God. Second thing, second group of people we honor in the Bible I want to talk about is we honor spiritual leaders. We honor spiritual leaders. I talked a little bit about this with our pastor. It was a journey of discovery that we went on. And I believe God blesses us when we honor spiritual leaders. Yes, it helps them, but it blesses us. Let me show you this in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. And then this is the key bit. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So the benefit of honoring your spiritual leaders is to you. So again, the church family this morning, we're growing culture this morning. That's what we're doing. We're looking at our culture and we say, how can we get healthier? So question, if you're on a serve team, how do you think about going about honoring your serve team leader? How can you honor them? How can you make sure that it is a joy to lead you, not a burden? How can you go about making sure that it is a joy to be, why? Because it's going to be a benefit to you. If you're in a community group, do you text the person at 6:57 to let them know that you're not coming for the 7 o'clock meeting? And trust me, I've received too many of those over the years to know that it doesn't happen. I've been baking since 5 p.m. I've gone out. I've spent a whole bunch of money. I'm all ready. It's on my countertop. And then I'm bracing for 6:30. Because I know I'm about to get bombarded with a bunch of messages that all this money I just spent was a waste. So how do we think about honoring the spiritual leaders in our life? And listen, I know stuff happens. Like, don't catch me here. Like, this is not me trying to scold anyone. This is me saying, no, like, let's honor people. Why? Because it's a blessing to you. Because if I'm, as a leader, feel like I'm pushing something uphill, I'm still going to do it. But man, it's much better when I get to feel like I'm running downhill. Because here's what honor does. Honor creates momentum. When there's honor, when there's unity, man, we're all running together. This is energizing. This is exciting. This is fun. Let's do this. High fives everywhere. Man, this is great. Honor creates momentum. Now, I want to be clear about something. As a leader, I don't need your honor. You need to give honor. It blesses you. I don't need it. Because I want to say it this way. If we can pull up that next thought on the screen for a moment. Honor is a gift when given and a danger when needed. So as leaders, I don't need it. Because that's dangerous. If you're around a leader who starts demanding that you give them honor, eesh. That's dangerous. Because what that says probably is there is a pride that they want you to fill. There is an insecurity that they need you to fill, right? So this is not me standing up here saying, let's just leave that up there for a second. This is not me saying, okay, you need to give honor, whatever. What I'm saying is, the Bible says, you are blessed when you give honor. We are healthier when you give honor. It's a more life-giving way to live. And so I want to encourage you, be a person who actively thinks about, how can I honor the leaders in my life? Because you're going to be blessed as a result. Let me give you a third one. Third one is this. We honor governing authorities. We honor governing authorities. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. It's a hard word. And so we need to think about honoring national, provincial, local, municipal authority. What does that look like? Here's what I want to encourage you with primarily. Can I invite you to pray for our leaders? It will posture your heart differently. When you start praying for them, praying for the best, praying for God to give them wisdom, praying for Jesus to come near to them. You don't need to agree with your politicians to pray for them. You don't need to agree with governing authorities to honor them. How did Jesus respond to the authorities when he was being dragged through the streets ready to be crucified? He's still honored. Let me give another example. I've got friends in churches in different parts of the world who are not able to gather as believers, as a church today, because it's illegal to do so, to gather as a church. And one of the conversations I had with them recently, I said to them, I think that you need to speak more honoringly of the authorities that you sit under. I said, what? But they're so wrong. This is, now I'm not saying, and to be clear, if governing authorities are trying to lead you towards sinful things, I don't think you need to then just agree, okay, yeah, we'll do this. You can protest, you can try and make a difference in that space, but I do believe we still need to honor. I'll give you an example. Probably a decade or so ago, I was living in another country, and regularly when I was driving, and we were driving in the car, the police would pull us over and ask for a cool drink or other such things. And it got very frustrating. And I started to talk in a way that was dishonoring about the institutions or the police or just government in general. I wasn't being honoring with how I was speaking about things. And I felt God challenge me in that time around these verses and say, you are not seeing these people as my children anymore. You see, what happens sometimes is we can just put institutions and we put them into a box and we say, well, this is how they all are. This is how they all do things. And that's how we create division in society. But honor creates unity. Was my complaining making any difference at all? No. It was making no difference to the situation. But here's the difference it was making. It was making me more bitter. But honor gave me more life. See, honor isn't about blessing the individual, it's about blessing me. That when I speak with honor, when I think with honor, when I pray with honor, it blesses me. So can I encourage us to honor our governing authorities? Can I encourage you to pray for our leaders? I believe it's going to bless your life as you do so. I want to give you one more group of people that I want to encourage us to honor in our church and in our lives. And it's this. We're going to honor those we get to serve. Honor those we get to serve. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is talking about how Jesus served his disciples. And we find this in John chapter 13. John 13, verse 3 to 5. Jesus is sat around the table with his disciples. They're having a meal. And then it says this: Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. Because he knew he had power, he used his power for something. It says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let's leave this verse up here for a moment. It was knowing the power that he had that caused him to choose to honor and serve those around him. Some of us, maybe we're parents. How will you honor your children? I know the Bible says honor father and mother. Yes, yes, yes. But we're called to, with the power that we have, how are we going to serve and honor those entrusted to us? Maybe you're a leader in our church. How are you thinking about honoring those around you? Maybe you've got friends in your life who you know need support in this season. How are you going to honor them by serving them in your life in this season? There's something about the power, the understanding the power we have from God is given to serve, not to be served. And so I want to encourage us in this season, church, to think, how are we going to grow in our honor for those around us? How are we going to serve those around us by honoring them? So, I want to encourage us to grow in We Will Elevate. Why? Because we're going to go after the rewards that last. We want to receive rewards that last, not temporary things where we push others down or we just keep on moving through in order to get what we want. No, no, no. We're going to make our lives about serving others. We're going to build a life that honors God, not dishonors. We're going to honor our spiritual leaders. We're going to honor governing authorities. We talked about earlier, we're going to honor our father and mother. We're going to honor those we get to serve. If we build that kind of culture, man, I think that is an attractive place for the world to come to. To say, why do you guys love each other so much? Why do you care for each other so much? What is it? Something shifted in me. I chose to honor. Let me tell you, sometimes honoring people feels sacrificial. Here's what we do when we honor. We say, I'm setting aside my preference to choose your preference. I'm setting aside what I want to do right now because I'm really interested in what's going to bless your life. How can you think about blessing the people around you? Because here's what I want you to understand. If you are a part of this church family, this is our culture. This is who we are. We're a people that honor. We're a people that passionately, actively find every possible way we can to honor those around us. In our lives, in our society, in our communities, in our church, we honor. And so I want to encourage you. Pray, ask God in these different areas, how can I do more to honor those around me? This today is an active word. I want to encourage you, don't just leave this in a Sunday morning. Have a think. How can I honor someone in my life today? Because that's going to bless not only them, but it's going to bless you. Amen. Let me pray for us. We're going to head towards the close of our service. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are leading us, growing our culture, growing the strength of our church in this season. Lord, I pray for any of us who would look at our own lives and we say, man, we've at times maybe even dishonored you, Lord, in how we've lived, in how we've thought, in how we've become casual in our lives. Jesus, I pray for just even a repentant heart in our church today. Lord, to say we don't want to be familiar. We don't want to be casual. We want to come with a fresh sense of awe and wonder. And we're going to choose to honor you with our lives, with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions. Lord, we want to honor you, Jesus. And we know as we build lives that honor you, the way we often do that is by building lives that honor others as well. Lord, we want to honor those around us. God, I pray that we would not be those who are just looking for people we can respect, but finding ways to honor everyone in our lives.